evening. What do you want to do tonight?
The same thing we do every night, Pinky. Try to take over the world.
Hey friends, welcome back to another episode of the Amber Bay Show. I am so glad you're joining me today because I have a friend, Jim Price of the Jim Price Show joining me. He's a wonderful podcaster and you can catch his show at thejimpriceshow.com. And we have a plethora of stuff we talk about. We talk about the General Flynn movie and the two-tier justice system and how media is controlled and playing a part of what we see and how that also plays a part in all the wars that go on. And it all stems from not having accurate information. And we have President Nixon, a clip, talk about the media controlling the narrative. And really it has to do more with government control, controlling the narrative. And we get into all that on today's show. Especially, we also talk about the speakership and should he vacate. So we talk about all that. We have so much we talk about on today's show. So please like, share, and subscribe. If you believe in what I'm doing, please consider becoming an angel investor. And the easiest way to do that is going to theambermayshow.com, hit the donate button, and donate whatever you feel you can donate. Well, without any further ado, I'd love to welcome Jim Price to the program. My friend Jim Price, the program has been too long, Jim, since we've done a show. Welcome to the program. Absolutely.
Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be here.
Yeah, so good to see you. I mean, it's been a while since we've seen each other. So, you know, you popped into my mind. I'm like, we need to do a show together. So I'm so grateful you had the time today because I have missed you, my friend.
Oh, me too. It's good to see you. We met in what, San Diego? Is that right? A couple years
ago? Yeah, we met in San Diego and then, you know, we've seen each other throughout the years, but we first met in San Diego. Yep.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. So,
yeah. And then it was fun in Las Vegas. That was a fun meetup. I mean, you were cracking major jokes. I mean, you had me in stitches. You were one funny man.
Oh, thank you. Well, I mean, yeah, that's when I get away from the mic, I get to be, you know, just a happy guy and tell jokes and enjoy life. But sad part of it is they've got us in such a, you know, I get on the show and I can't talk about everything that I want to talk about, the good stuff, because I'm undoing all the lies and the manipulation I live in daily. So no, it's good to be able to, that was kind of like a little, like I would say, a little mini vacation, that little trip there. I didn't do media like I usually do, but I definitely was involved. So it was good.
Did you see the new General Flynn movie that came out?
Yeah, he was actually here in Wichita, Saturday, this last Saturday. So that was really cool to have him in town. I hung out with him and we got to talk about some stuff, him and his son. So yeah, we got to see that. I got to see it Saturday.
Oh, that's fantastic. I saw it a few days ago and he was in town a few days ago and the movie had me tearing up. I encourage everyone to go see that movie. It's called FlynnMovie.com.
Right.
And you know, we have both been around him off and on over the last few years, but I did not realize the extent of why he pled guilty. I didn't realize that it was, they were going after a son, and that makes a lot of sense because it's what they do. Yeah. You know, I feel bad for General for President Trump's son, Barron. You know, the older Trump kids, they've had a dad when everyone loved Hollywood, but since Barron's been alive, it's been, well, since he came down the escalator anyways, a majority of Barron's life, his dad's been wrapped up in court cases that are bogus. And now he's maybe not be able to see his son graduate. It's insane what they're doing to people at the high level. And if they could do it at the high level to them, imagine what they could do for us when we go against the narrative, when we say no to what big government wants, when we peacefully protest and we go to the Capitol. I mean,
well, and that's what they do. So I real quick, guys, at thejimpriceshow.com, if you guys are looking me up, see, for me, that's how I got in this fight, though, Amber. This is how I got into this. I ran for office, simple as what Trump did. But I did this in 2016. Mm-hmm. And in 2016, they started writing news articles about me. And I'm like, these are not even like they have my name in there. Like, that's the closest affiliation to reality they have. And I was pushing back, and I hadn't. So I'm going to give you just a really quick, I'll give you the overview of what I went through in 2016 and 2018 when the arrests started. So I immediately lose my security clearances because of suspicion. There was a complaint turned in or anonymous tip. I lost my security clearances because my security clearances were so sensitive. When they would bring anything up, it would just basically take everything away, and I had to wait for them to bring it back. Well, they weren't bringing it back. So then as I went through that, I started watching my social groups start turning against me and people that I had been friends with for a long time. And they're like, Oh, and I'm like, you've known me for decades. Like, this is not even funny. And so as I did all that, I thought, okay, you know, I'm just running for office. It shouldn't be a big deal. And, the morning of my birthday in 2018, May 17th, which is, if you want to buy me a new truck, I'd appreciate that. I do prefer Fords and four wheel drives. You can smile. It's okay. So on my birthday, the judge I'm having coffee with for 3 years, 3 to 5 times a week, that guy signs the no-knock warrant on my house on my birthday, knowing they were going to raid my house at 10 a.m. And that morning he says, hey, happy birthday, Jim. We had coffee together. I think he even bought my coffee that morning. So the problem with it is that, you know, and then when I go home, here comes all these people coming up on my porch. I open the door up. They knock the door out of my hand. They put a laser dot on my forehead and they tell me if I move, they're going to blow my effing brain off my shoulder. So when I sit in the driveway for the 6 hours in handcuffs, as they tear apart my house, the officer who had been, I was in his cop car and I was sitting there and he says, hey, where's your son at? And he'd been coming back and forth. And I knew they were trying to build something up and I couldn't think of what it was. I couldn't figure out what was going on. What's going on? What are they doing here? And I'm like, why is this happening? Like, there's no reason for them to raid my house. I don't have anything that's a problem. And so he comes out, he goes, hey, where's your son at? I was like, well, he's at work. Well, he ain't at work because we went by there to pick him up. I was like, why would you pick him up? Well, because we have to ask him some questions. I said, whatever you found in that house is mine. All right, boys, wrap it up. We got what we want here. At that moment, I knew how accurate I was and the fact that this had nothing to do with reality except for the fact that they wanted me. Mm-hmm. Had nothing on me. Mm-hmm. They're destroying my house. So my son had some pot in the house. There were things around the house. You know, there's things that I don't even think about. Because I don't think of things. I don't run around going, oh, I wonder if the government would approve of me having a half a gallon of milk in my refrigerator. Mm-hmm. Oh, I better grasp my pearls and wonder if, you know, Uncle Sam will approve of my way of life. Again, I was a clean cut guy, you know, super clean cut. I never had a long goatee, or this was actually a Van Dyke. So I never had long hair. I was always did everything by the book, paid my taxes, was Mr. You know, I had like 3 speeding tickets my entire life. And so my life was very, 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 very right on point, right? Mm-hmm. I went through 2 divorces and I went through a custody battle with my kids. I ended up getting sole custody, but I wasn't a bad guy. I wasn't doing anything wrong. I wasn't skinning babies in the bathtub. You know, I wasn't deserving of having my house torn apart. And so they arrested me and then immediately dropped the charges. And then they came back in and raided my house again, arrested me and immediately dropped the charges, and then came back and arrested me again, dropped the charges, arrested me again, dropped the charges, and then arrested me again, and then finally charged me all the way. So 5 arrests, 2 raids. Guys, this is nothing new, what we're seeing Trump go through. I did this in 2016 when I had friends. Now, Amber, think about 2016. This is when Trump came down the escalator. We're still reading the LA Times and the Chicago Tribune and the New York Times. And so we're still believing in that there is a media apparatus that's feeding us good information. We're still we're not really in the truth or movement effect really yet. Mm-hmm. And so I would tell people, man, there's nothing that they're saying in that thing that's accurate. And they're like, Jim, why would the newspaper lie about you?
Exactly. And that's one of the things that Flynn talks about in his movie, about the relationship between Intel and the media and how we're not getting the accurate information. They learned, okay, they took our John F. Kennedy out with a bullet. They learned under Nixon, if they just ruin his reputation and slander him in the media, you can remove a powerful person from
office. Character assassination.
That's exactly it. And ever since then,
allegations of sex. Ooh, allegations of fraud. Allegations of campaign finance. Ooh, allegations. Everything's allegations, right? Mm-hmm. Well, allegations is imaginary. I mean, this is the part where I go back to the O.J. Simpson trial. Now, whether you believe that man was innocent or not, or whether he killed anybody or not, the sad part of it is, they paraded him out in front of all of us. And we all had our opinions. We all had our sides we picked. We all decided if we liked the judge or the jury or the DA or the prosecutor or the defense attorneys. We had playing cards for everybody. And we picked sides and all this stuff. But in reality, there was people that believed he was guilty no matter what. It's and true. And to know that it didn't matter. That's what bothers me even to this day. And that was 30 mm-hmm. years ago, 30 some years ago. Mm-hmm. He just passed it last week or whatever it was. But think about that. We're willing to go after somebody. Oh, Amber smacked her child. Oh, she's a child abuser. Allegedly. Mm-hmm. Well, wait, if I put the word allegedly before or after anything I say about anybody, I can just continue to say anything I want. And the sad part of it is we run towards these houses of fire, mm-hmm. and we would never want that happen to us, but we run mm-hmm. to them and go, ooh, look, their home is, their whole life is burning down. Ooh, why do we do that to each other? But this is what we've sensationalized in our society, especially with the the thumbs up, the emoji, the clickbait stuff, the clicks, the likes, the views. We've really got ourselves in a bit of a trap in a morality dilemma where we know it's wrong to do those things, but we do them anyway. Mm-hmm. So yeah, the Flynn thing was very parallel with mine. It was amazing to watch mine was a couple years prior. I was just ahead of the curve, you know? Oh, yay me. I was ahead of the curve. You know, I went through the brick wall when nobody understood that the media was lying.
Yeah. And speaking of the media lying, there's a clip from Nixon, and I don't think he got the full, I think he started getting the full idea about the media, but I don't think he totally knew the depth and breadth of how the intel community is with the media. And they will take you out, just like you said, with character assassination, like they did with you, like they did with Flynn, like they do with Trump. Mm-hmm. So let's listen to this clip about from what Richard Nixon said, because this is how they took him out.
Well, they have much more power than most people would like to think. When we think of the media in this country, the problem is that they have a sense of self-righteousness, a double standard on issue after issue after issue. They can find everything wrong with somebody else, but they will not look inside and ever admit that they could be wrong themselves. And what was involved here in the Watergate thing was the unfairness of it. Oh, there was a legitimate thing to investigate, but they refused to balance it. They allowed their advocacy to get ahead of their reporting, which is their job to do. President Eisenhower, in his farewell address, wrote about and warned against the power of the military-industrial complex. I didn't get a chance to make a farewell address, but when I get old enough and decide to retire, and I'm not planning it at the moment, but when I get that old, if I make a farewell address, I think I would warn against the media elitist complex. You know, the media is always talking about the imperial presidency, the power of the imperial presidency. I think we ought to hear a little bit of discussion of the imperial media and its power. You see, presidential power is limited by the courts, limited by the Congress. The media's power is unlimited. And some would say, but what about libel suits? Forget it. After the Supreme Court's decision in Sullivan versus New York Times a few years ago, a public figure cannot collect in a libel suit against newspaper or television unless he can prove malice. Mm. There's no way that that's going to be possible. As far as the media is concerned, all we can hope from them, if they're going to be responsible, is self-analysis, self-criticism, And some of them are trying with their ombudsman and the rest. The other thing is competition. But what we see in terms of newspapers across the country is more and more places where there's only one paper. Take Washington, D.C. Since the Star left the scene, the Washington Post is the only major newspaper being printed in the most important capital in the world. I wouldn't like to leave the fate of this country to the editors of the Washington Post.
Do you think that the First Amendment has been misused or abused by reporters?
Oh, no question about it. It's used basically as a license. Let's face it, Sullivan versus New York Times is in effect a license to lie because they can tell an untruth, print an untruth, which some of them consciously do if it's going to sell newspapers or what have you or win a prize. And then they can always get behind the barrier under that case of saying, well, I didn't intend any malice. I had no malice.
That's a terribly cynical approach, though, to people who are doing their best, who are going to work, who are trying to sell papers, certainly, but are trying to tell the truth.
Let me say right at the outset of this conversation, I made it clear that I was not speaking personally. I was not speaking generally. I'm simply speaking of what I have found to be an unfortunate majority at the present time. I think it could change. There are a lot of very good, responsible reporters, particularly in the writing press, not yet that much in television, because television is so consumed with ratings and the rest. They'll do almost anything to get a story.
Is there any way to get some kind of a handle on this situation? Should the media be investigated? Should it be controlled?
No, I may disagree, for example, with what some president does with his power, but I don't want to abolish the presidency or I don't want to control it. The same is true of the press. I believe in a free press. Mm-hmm. I do not want government control under any circumstances or government censorship of either radio, television, or newspapers. But I'm simply suggesting here that all of the media should look within themselves. Look through that microscope at themselves. Look in the mirror now and then, rather than looking out there to others.
Hey, I'm going to get to that thought in just a second, but right now I'm going to take a quick break.
So many of us think that sleep is a luxury. Sleep is not a luxury. Sleep is a necessity. It's going to help you restore all your bodily functions, help your body recover, recoup. It's something that we need to function on a daily basis. We need to feel restful. And if you're not feeling restful because you're not getting a proper night's sleep, then I have something just for you. I just absolutely adore Dr. Stella. She comes out with some great supplements. And here's one of the newest ones she came out with, and it's Kobe Sleeps. So if you have trouble going to sleep at night and you want a more restful night's sleep, go to drstellamd.com, go to her supplement section and purchase this and use promo code AmberMay, one word, and you'll save some money there. Not only does it help promote a more restful night's sleep, it helps with stress and joint function. So if you have stress, you have joint function, you're also not getting a good restful night's sleep, you need to go to drstellamd.com, get these Kobe Sleep Bites right now, and save money by using promo code AmberMay.
This is Charlie Ward. Welcome to the Amber May TV show.
Hey friends, are you looking for a financial planner you can trust? Well, look no further than EPS Wealth Management. I work with a wonderful team of individuals, and my part in the team is the marketing director and one of the insurance professionals. Our investment strategy works in an up or down market. It actually works harder for you in a down market. So we have an income-based approach versus a growth-only approach. If you are interested in a strategy that's going to work harder for you, even in a down market, are you looking to own some gold and silver? Well, look no further than EPS Wealth Management, because we can lock in some great pricing for you and have it shipped right to your house hassle-free. How would you like to have a pension income for life? It's a great complement to income-based investing in the stock market, and the whole thrust is more income in retirement than you need and can easily spend so you can do the things you've always dreamed of doing and be able to help others in need and leave a legacy for your family. Income also doubles during times of health problems with where long-term care events occur, like dementia, cognitive impairment, having trouble getting in and out of bed. And even if you spend your account down to zero, your basic income will continue as long as you live. So if any of this financial planning is of interest to you, give us a call. Check us out at iloveeps.com. That's iloveeps.com, and let them know Amber sent you.
You are listening to the Amber May Show, and now we return to the show already in progress.
What do you think about that, Jim? What are your comments about that?
Okay, I'm just I was listening to everything he was saying, and the sad part of it is he's telling you as if he's trying to tell you to get off of the bridge and not commit suicide. He's telling you like in such an anxious way to say, listen to me. No, it's worth, you know, it's worth putting in the effort to hold these people accountable for their, no, it's worth it. You don't have to. And so it's really amazing. It sounded more like a negotiation of a suicide attempt than somebody who's just going, yeah, you know, they were screwing around, didn't investigate me properly, you know. It's like, yeah. So what he was pointing out is not so much even just the idea that there's some bureaucracy, but you could kind of hear the bureaucracy story in there, some things mm-hmm. that were going on. But the fact that reporters, and I have to give reporters a little bit of grace here. And I'm not giving them a lot. It's mostly just rope to hang themselves with. But anything that we write, we're going to have a slight, we're going to slant it and mm-hmm. we're going to move it in our direction. I have a story I always told the kids when we would, they'd want to go to bed and they're like, Dad, tell us the story. And I was like, I don't have a story, you know? And I had to be at work at 6 o'clock in the morning. I was, I was in construction for, you know, almost 40 years. And so for the kids, you're like, yeah, Dad. And it's like, you know, I'm like trying to keep my eyes away. I'm like, I'm okay. Sure. Story, you know? So you're going to I'm going to tell them a child's story. And I'm like, well, there was a little boy who had a pony, and I just start, you know, I do the voice. I bring it down. I bring it soft, mm-hmm. talking about how green the grass is. And as the breeze was blowing across the grass, mm-hmm. feel the, you know, and so when you're doing that, you're putting an effect into it. Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the same idea. If I'm going to want to talk about Eisenhower, I actually met Eisenhower's granddaughter in Florida just a few weeks ago.
Wow.
Yeah, I got her book signed. It's actually over here. So anyway, long story, but my plane got delayed, ended up going to this meet and greet thing, and she was there anyway. But what you're hearing him say and talk about is we have all these figures out there that have gone through horrific things, and we're all still going around going, you know, there's just that one guy. If we just get rid of that one commissioner, we just mm-hmm. won't have, you know, the problem anymore. Guys, they killed Kennedy.
Mm-hmm.
They have sent us to World War I to reestablish the family bloodlines globally, from czars and kings to ambassadors and prime ministers and presidents. And then we went into there and Russia sent 6 million volunteer men into World War I, and those 6 million men never came home. And there was another 6 million that came home, that went into war, came back, and some came back with injuries they never recovered from. I mean, they were lifelong, you know, amputees and things of that nature. Guys, that's the First World War. But how about Mao? How about Stalin in between the First World War and World War II? How about the fact that we sent another several million men to their deaths, including watching our own government turn away the radar signatures of the Japanese Armada coming towards Hawaii, knowing that the planes had already left the carriers? We knew they were coming. They stopped the communications and the command to put anybody on alert, and they blocked the entrance of Pearl Harbor. Guys, that's Pearl Harbor. Now let's get into that's World War II. Well, let's go into Korea. Why were we in Korea?
I have no idea.
We were in there to fight the Chinese from taking over. That's why North Korea is communist and mm-hmm. South Korea is quote unquote not, because that's mm-hmm. all the further we could get them pushed north is that. Anyway, but this was all just mm-hmm. guerrilla warfare. Do you know where Agent Orange came from? Well, it came from World War II, when we were using mustard gas and chlorine gas and fluoride gas to kill people. Yes, fluoride, the thing they put in your water that doesn't kill you, right? No, it does. So we go into Vietnam, doing the same war again, same type of war, jungle warfare. Then we start spraying Agent Orange on everything. But what is Agent Orange? Glyphosate, Roundup. That's why these men came back with losing their hair, sterile, having cancers, turbo cancers. glyphosate. It's what we're all inflamed from. It's the very number one thing. If anybody's having any type of reproductive issues, prostate cancers, ovarian, uterine cancers, testicular cancers, can't have regular, stuff. Your glyphosate poisoning is forever in your body. That was a war chemical that now we use on our yards. Roundup Ready corn and Roundup Ready wheat have been modified so they don't die when sprayed with glyphosate, but the glyphosate soaks into them and then soaks into your body and never leaves unless you push it out. Mm-hmm. Thank you, World War II or World War II, and also Vietnam and Korea. Then we go on to, let's go, the Bay of Pigs. We've got Iran-Contra affair. Then we got 9/11. Then we have all these things. What he was talking about, and everybody's talking about, you know, always see him with his friend, I'm not a crook, you know, the two-finger thing. That was always his thing. But what was he telling you? Everything I just said was what he told you. Those wars, those battles, those deaths, the millions of men that we've sent to the meat slaughter for these people, that's all on us. We are the ones that are letting them do this. An industrial complex, yeah. The media got involved because the media makes money when the war is going. They sell more newspapers. It's all just trying to keep each other, keep it a job. We put people in jail for a $15 an hour job or a $20 an hour job now to be a prison guard. But the problem with that is that that's just creating a job that we have to pay $40,000 to $50,000 a year to incarcerate a man when there was no victim, no victim, no crime. We do things in our society to create jobs when in reality, if we quit trying to create jobs by screwing each other over, we'd have more freedom and liberty. But he was telling you that. That's what Kennedy was fighting against. This is what we're up against. When we know that this industrial complex really wants you out of the way, President Bush Sr. was the head of a CIA, and Barry Obama's grandfather worked directly for Bush Sr. in the CIA. Bush Sr. was a CIA director when Kennedy was killed. We know all these. We got the string board. We see the connections. We see the ties to this. Guys, 9/11, we lost $2 trillion. Rumsfeld told us on 9/8, right? November 8th, the day before, he sets up there in a press conference in the White House and says, hey, we lost $2 trillion. We have no idea where it went. I'm a federal contractor. I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, I have to sit there and show you my, I have to give you DNA samples just to get my paychecks from you guys. So my people, I got to turn in all this documentation. You lost $2 trillion. Please send it my way. I don't know how you did that, but I would love to have been a beneficiary of it. But what I'm pointing out here is, guys, this whole thing, I've been watching stock with Israel.
I was going to ask you about your opinion on the whole Israeli war thing. Yes.
Yeah. Sorry. I get all this stuff is so tied together.
Yeah, it is.
Sorry. I don't mean to step on your question there.
No. But that's one of the things I wanted to get your opinion on about. Okay. So right now our federal government's so broken. They're fighting over sending money to Ukraine. Mm-hmm. They're fighting over sending money to Israel, and no one's talking about the United States border. We have a war going on right now. As a matter of fact, I want to show you this, and we can get into some of this stuff. I want to show you this headline that's from the Post Millennial. It says, South American gangs target San Diego homes for burglary after flying to U.S. on visa waiver program. So the article says San Diego is a common destination for travelers. However, a new set of visitors have taken advantage of the investigators say a weak vetting system to wreak havoc on residents in a more affluent neighborhoods. The phenomenon has come to be known as burglary terrorism. Involves the obtaining of tourist visas by foreigners, typically members of South American organized crime groups, then cross the border and steal from American citizens. So that's just a summary of what that news article is. So, okay, we have a war going on here in the United States, but the mainstream media is really not talking about it. And right now, Washington is infighting between the Ukrainian war, Israel's war, and no one's talking about the border. I'm happy to support Israel. They're an ally, but I also want to see support here in the United States for our border, for our security, so that people that live here, and I'm a border state, you know that, you used to live here, we could be safe. And every state now is a border state. So even where you're at in Kansas, you might see this happen too.
Yeah. Well, let me ruin something for you here real quick.
Great.
So, okay, the Israel war. Okay, let's do, I'm gonna lay down some things out. I'm gonna lay the story all out in front of you, and then we're gonna come to a conclusion here. First of all, Israel is a country. Okay. It's not, Israel is not a religion. Israel is not a genealogy of people. Okay. Israel is a country we developed, put together, carved out a spot after World War II. President Eisenhower, who's from Kansas, which Eisenhower has some credibility issues with me, even though he's from Kansas, I'm not going to stand and be loyal to him. But we know that Eisenhower carved out Israel. Oh, well, they have their chosen land back. Okay, that's fine. But they also made space for the Palestinians to be in certain spots as well. We carved out space for them. Now, that's World War II. Let's go with that. Now, Israel is a country. We found out how they're a country, right? Jewish people of Jewish descent have DNA markers that says that they are Jewish descent. Is that, that's correct as well, right? We have Israel. So that means there's Israelis, like there are Americans in America. There are Jewish people of Jewish descent. Okay. So I could say that my great grandfather would have been Jewish. And so probably there's some Jewish blood in me, right? So there's a Jewish descent in there. Now, does that mean that I am Israeli? No. Does that mean I am of Jewish religion? No. That means I may have bloodline of Jews. So we have Israel, and then we have bloodline Jewish, and then we have religion Jewish. Now, because I'm an American doesn't mean I'm a Baptist, right? Well, we're a Christian nation. Okay. But I'm also could be Southern Baptist. I could be Assembly of God. I could be First Presbyterian. I could be Second, whatever. I could be Episcopalian or whatever aliens or you, whatever you want to come up with. Right. So to be Jewish doesn't mean that I'm from Israel. Right. Doesn't mean I have Jewish descent either. I could just be in the Jewish religion, having studied and chose that religion. The reason I'm saying all this is very important. Now, everybody out there, and if you want to, Amber, while you're sitting there, put in into Google or DuckDuckGo. I use DuckDuckGo, which is or Brave. Put in there Israel Canal. And then I want you to go to images. And then there's going to be a map that you see all these little maps with this like little red line going through the middle of Israel. Click on one of those and then bring it up on the main screen for folks. I don't mean to be your producer here all of a sudden, but
no, great.
I want everybody to see this. And I want you guys to see the reason I'm bringing up Israel Canal is because almost 3 full years ago. Yeah. See that little line going right up through the middle there? 3 full years ago, Israel started building this canal, which is a rock bottom canal, meaning they're chiseling the bedrock out. It's a two-way canal. Now, over here underneath says Mediterranean, but where that M is at, that's the Suez Canal over there. It's a one-way canal. Remember the Ever Given that got stuck in there and shut everything down for a week? Well, that's a one-way canal. 12 hours it goes north, 12 hours it goes south. 12 hours it goes north, 12 hours it goes south. Israel Canal that they started almost 3 years ago, which will be done here by the end of this year or the beginning of next year, should be done anytime soon, comes out right at the north end of the Gaza Strip. Now, I want you to understand this is going to be a two-way canal that America, Germany, and Israel own together. What did Biden announce during his State of the Union address? We're putting in an emergency port into Israel for humanitarian aid to Hamas and Palestine. Why do we need to put an emergency port in there? We don't. We're putting a military naval base in Israel because we're going to be monitoring the canal that is now the Israel Canal. This has been something that's been going into work for a long, long time. Now, would our country, to try to maintain control of us through the Patriot Act, destroy two buildings on the south end of New York to create patriotism and allow Bush Jr. to go in and finish daddy's job in the Middle East? Yes, our country will kill us, destroy buildings, and make it sound like somebody over the Middle East did it. My point is that all these things tie together with these string boards of ideas back and forth and back and forth. The Israeli conflict, are there people dying? Yes. Are there innocent people dying? Yes. Is Israel involved? Yes. Is America involved? Yes. Is Iran involved? To a point. But why is it we only see rocket fire at night? Why is it we only see tracer rocker fire, where we get these really great looking shots of the Iron Dome? We get all this fantastic tracer fire. Well, if you have all these automated systems, they don't need to be tracer fire, because the computers are actually doing it through lasers, which are not seen by the naked eye. Mm-hmm. But why do we have tracer fire ammunition, which is far more expensive? Because it's a better show. If you watch the movie Wag the Dog and The Matrix back to back, this whole thing makes a lot more sense to you. Now, go ahead.
I was going to bring up also what the FBI director, not that I really trust the man, but I'm sure there's things that he says that we can listen to that are truthful when he wants to be the FBI. Chinese hackers preparing to launch a massive attack on U.S. infrastructure have already infiltrated several critical companies. So this is coming from the Gateway Pundit. And Chinese hackers are preparing to launch a major attack on critical U.S. infrastructure and have already infiltrated multiple companies, according to the FBI. FBI Director Chris Wray revealed today China is developing the capability to cause significant damage to our critical infrastructure at a time of their choosing. The only question is the time to launch a catastrophic blow. China is developing the ability to physically wreak havoc on our critical infrastructure at a time of its choosing. Now, according to Ray, an ongoing Chinese hacking campaign known as Vault Typhoon has successfully infiltrated several American companies in telecommunication, energy, water, critical sectors, and 23 pipeline operators are being targeted. Now, I was listening to the War Room today with Steve Bannon, and he said when he was in Las Vegas, which was just this weekend, just yesterday and the day before, mm-hmm. he said several 911 operator sections were offline in several states.
Yep.
I was like, wow. So he's under the assumption that it was a hack job that took 911 off any of us being able to call in.
So what they're doing is, and in hacking in general, they go out and they test the doors, right? Let's say mm-hmm. there's 12 doors in front of you. And the first one, they kind of go up and push on. The second one, they kind of go and push on. The second, mm-hmm. therefore, they push on. And then if they see one kind of like, oh, wait, that's got a little give to it, then they'll try to do something else to that weakness, right? Mm-hmm. And so what they're doing is, and I will tell you right now, our electrical grid is basically from 100 years ago. There's no, the technology that we have and the ability for us to transfer power on the out, by the way, power is always on the outside of the cable. It's never inside the wire. People don't realize that. But anyway, the infrastructure, yes, it's horribly weak. And these computers are absolutely hackable. They always have this built-in hack. Why? Because in case you lock yourself out of the system, you have to have a backdoor to get in. That's the idea. It's a weakness within a weakness. So it's a weakness within the design. It's just there's always going to be that weakness or the backdoor effect. So in reality, we have to think about, yes, all these things are absolutely real. And guys, if you don't know how to start a fire, if you don't have a little propane gas, something or other to cook some food on, if you don't have true dry food and some other things that are shelf stable that you can kind of get through life until you figure it out, mm-hmm. You're just setting yourself up for failure. It's literally, mm-hmm. they're saying like 90% of Americans don't even have 3 days of food in their own house.
Mm-hmm.
They buy daily for their next meal. They buy mm-hmm. only for here, only for there. And I struggled with that. You know, different people were like, oh, you don't need to buy that gym. You know, and I was like, no, when I take the package of toilet paper and I open it, I go buy another one. So I always have one in reserve.
Well, that's good.
So mm-hmm. most people are like, but you still have 29 rolls left. I'm like, okay, but that goes really fast when you're not paying attention. I've got behind it. Now I've got time. Same thing with food. We all should think about it. If you have canning jars that you take and you take your peaches out of it,
mm-hmm.
well, can water. Don't let the jar sit there on your shelf empty. Can water with it. And then when you go to can again, you just dump the water out. Mm-hmm. And then you can your stuff in there. And then when it's empty, can water. You have preserved water that's shelf stable.
Oh, that's a smart idea. I didn't even think about that, canning water. I think that's a great idea.
Hey, I'm going to get to that thought in just a second, but right now I'm going to take a quick break.
For those of you that are preppers out there, I've partnered with Prepper All Natural. Prepper offers amazing high quality cooked and freeze dried beef along with long term storage. Eat well today and tomorrow. And you can check out their food at freedomfirstbeef.com. That's freedomfirstbeef.com. And when you're there, use promo code Amber at checkout to save some money. So freedomfirstbeef.com, promo code Amber at checkout.
I'm Clay Clark. I'm a very pale male, and you're listening to the Amber May Show. Hey!
The First Amendment is under attack, but did you know you can help protect your constitutional rights by using your cell phone? Patriot Mobile is the only Christian conservative wireless provider that will always support freedom of speech and freedom of religion, and that's why I'm proud to partner with them. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, giving you access to all three major networks, which means you can get the same coverage that you've been accustomed to without funding the left. When you switch to Patriot Mobile, you're supporting organizations like First Liberty, Alliance Defending Fund, Concerned Women for America, and more. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Keep your number, keep your phone, or upgrade. Their team will help you find the best plan for your needs. Just go to patriotmobile.com/Amber or call 972-PATRIOT. Get free activation when you use promo code Amber at checkout. Join us. Make the switch today. patriotmobile.com/Amber. That's patriotmobile.com/Amber or 972-PATRIOT.
You are listening to the Amber May Show, and now we return to the show already in progress.
So the prepping of things is really necessary for simple little things that you can do, dry beans and just little stuff, like have a little cast iron pot. So, like, you know, if everything does go bad, you can go out in your backyard or on your porch or whatever, put some sticks together and heat up a little pot of water and boiling beans. But if you have just cast iron or you're always used to microwaving or you don't, again, you're setting yourself up for failure. But what these guys are telling you is all these things are real. Will it ever happen? Again, we don't know.
Well, here's my question to you. Chris Wray, he's part of the deep state. He's one of the bad guys, right?
Oh,
and
yeah.
He happens to be in charge of the FBI. Why is he warning us? Why is he giving all the Americans a warning? Is that because they have to give a warning before they do their bad thing? Is that what that's all about? I mean, he's not a great dude. So I don't understand why he's giving us the warning about
Some of it is so obvious that it's a shiny object of, oh, there's Chinese hackers out there. Well, there's Russian hackers, too. I thought they were the ones that were taking over infrastructure.
Our elections, remember how the left said that the Russians hacked and that's why Donald Trump won?
We
had the freest secure elections. Remember that, too?
That statement's real, though. Let me tell you why that statement's absolutely factual about the 2016 election. 2016 election, Scorecard and Hammer are two programs where they have the ability to pull back and look at the numbers. Oh, excuse me. Sorry, I had to sneeze. As the numbers are coming in, they can look at the numbers as they're coming in as the votes, but then they can go in there and change them. Scorecard and Hammer. What Russia did, and I'm just, this is the Jim Price Show. This is Jim saying this. This is what I believe. I don't have anything to back this up except a lot of observational facts, I think. To me, it looks like observational facts. When you think about when Hillary Clinton and Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and all these people got up there, they stole the Russian help to, you know, steal the election. What Russia did was stop them from stealing the election. That's why you saw Trump actually win, even though he lost the popular vote. He won the Electoral College, which is harder math, and he was able to get that victory, which is the absolute victory of things. And then suddenly, the college doesn't work until it works again.
But my point is, they said it back then, and then for the 2020 election, when we all knew what happened, suddenly it's the freest and fair election. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
You can't just tell me 4 years prior that we had a hack job and now it's the freest and fair election. You keep saying that.
We did nothing to fix it, but somehow we got it perfect, right?
Yeah.
That's just it. I think Russia came in and stopped the Democrats from cheating for Hillary. And that's why they were so disappointed that the fact that it didn't work the way it was supposed to. That's why they made sure it worked in 2020.
Yes, they did.
Shutting it down. So they really showed their cards because they were so obsessive, right?
Yes, they did. Yeah. And so, okay. So what is your, I want to go into something else, but I have to ask you this question. Yeah. I ask all podcasters this question. Right. Do you think Donald Trump's going to
be able to sit in the White House. I mean, I think he's going to win. You know, if there was no cheating, I think he was going to win. Do you think he's going to be able to overcome the cheating, or do you think they're going to cheat and everyone's going to know by now? Cause we've been saying it for the last 4 years, evidence have been coming out for the last 4 years. And people won't take it this time when they cheat. Like, what is your prediction with this next election coming up?
So here's one thing. I think we're going to go ahead and have the election. I do think Trump is going to go ahead and be the president. Why do I say this? Jim, they're trying right now. They're trying to stop him. They're going to bring out the next Marburg virus. They're going to kill us all. I mean, okay, they're all doing that all the time, guys. It's normal.
Right.
It's our normal life. Why I'm saying that I do believe that we're going to be able to do this is because there is a greater number of us talking about being precinct heads. There's a greater number of us about being poll watchers. There's a greater number of us talking about the cheating they're going to do and how they're going to do it, what they're going to do it like, and who's going to be there doing the cheating, who's making the commands. Guys, listen, this is energy, as simple, plain and simple. I'm not trying to get you outside of your religion. I'm not trying to make it sound like voodoo. But when my words go out and you hear those words and you process mm-hmm. that, and then you say it yourself, mm-hmm. we're not going to let them steal. We're going to be talking about the steal. This person steals. No boxes, no paper ballots, no this, no that, or no printed ballots at the stations, only hard copy watercolored paper. When we say those things over and over and over and over again, we're fighting back against them to the point where they have no other options except to actually just show off who they are. Do I believe they're going to try to cheat? Yes. Will it be so mm-hmm. obvious it's going to be like a trash fire? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Are we going to have to continue to run our mouths about election integrity and getting it right and doing those things? Absolutely. That's mm-hmm. how we win this. It's information, mental warfare. Mm-hmm. Use your mouth.
So now that people are now talking about vacating the speakership again, this mm-hmm. was played this morning on Real America's Voice. I wanted to share his clip with you, find out what you think about this. What he says, and we'll
Johnson has become this. His reputation, his history, his legacy will be the speaker who got things done with Democrats, and unfortunately, that's a fact.
Wow, I don't that's even an recognize.
Yeah, I don't even recognize the person that I once called a friend. He doesn't. He completely pivoted on Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. He completely pivoted on his views on funding. He completely pivoted on Ukraine. So for months and months since October, Mike Johnson has been saying no funding for Ukraine until we fix the border, right?
It's time for it. Go ahead.
And yet he's going to completely throw that out the window. And look, don't be fooled, because they're trying to put forward a border vote, but they're doing it separately on a completely different bill, knowing that the Senate is going to kill it. If they really wanted to fix the border, they would do it on the very bills that they're MERVing together. I've never even heard of this acronym before. It's called MERV, where while we might have separate votes, at the end of the day, those votes are going to be put together in a package that's Wow. sent to the Senate. And if you cared about the border, one of the issues would be HR2, you put the board, fix the border into this monstrosity that we're sending to the Senate.
What do you think about that?
Well, here's what, let me use, again, I have to always go give you a little history with it. When the Rockefeller Institute sent out private eyes across the country to go out and develop files on every politician and major industry leader, he created the FBI of information, finding out who's sleeping with who paid off who killed who's got his parking ticket, who's got, you know, an illegitimate child in another city. What I see in Johnson is a guy who had the best heart and was out there trying to do the right thing. But I do believe that his limitation on whatever it is they got him on, whatever foot pictures he's got in his phone, or, you know, whoever he texts inappropriately, they've got something on him and they are leveraging him. That's what you see across the board. That's why McCarthy used to be really tough until he couldn't be tough. Just like Cruz could be tough until he couldn't be tough. Just like we see with Johnson, he was tough until he couldn't be tough. And they're giving into these guys. We're getting ready to write a check to 100 tomorrow morning on Saturday, April 20th. they will be signing a $100 billion aid package to Ukraine, Israel, Guyana, a couple other places, places I haven't even heard of that are needing our money. But there's going to be $100 billion spent tomorrow on that. And we've already sent $300 billion to Ukraine already. According to my figures, with all the stuff we've given them and the cash, is $300 billion.
And we don't even know what they've done with the money. What did Ukraine do with them? I mean, we know what they've done with the money, Jim.
Yeah. Where's all the wars? Where's all the battles? Where's the ba-coo, 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 and the crossfire and the ditch warfare and the where? I mean, they've been battling for almost 3 years. That place ought to be rubble.
You think? And maybe it is. I haven't been there. I haven't seen it. Maybe it is.
It's not. Well, you saw the pictures coming out last year of Ukraine, and McDonald's is open, Burger King is open, Taco Bell, KFC. People are in the plazas. They're still living life. So how is it there's so much war, but yet they're still living life as if not there is no war?
Maybe that's how you have to deal with war. I mean, we've been so fortunate not to have a lot of
table. Oh, here, just move that dust off here. We're going to eat. Yes. Sorry.
Sorry.
Bombs are going off again. Sorry. I got to get my pizza there. I mean, I don't know. So it's good stuff. I don't know. We have to add levity to this, because if we don't laugh a little bit, you have to.
Yes. So, I mean, we might disagree on this issue. Like, do I like Speaker Johnson and what he's done? No. Do I think it's the right time to motion to vacate? I don't think so either, because I think if we did it this time with the very small minority.
If you vote motion to vacate, you can't do anything until you have a speaker again, which means they're not going to do anything, which that means they're not spending our money, which tells me, yay.
Well, that's true. But where I was going with it is, because so many Republicans all of a sudden out of nowhere, I think they got paid off pretty good to vacate their seat so that it can naturally flip to the Democrats. I think if they did a motion to vacate, I think this time a Democrat might sit in the speakership again. When we have a majority, supposedly.
They already have it.
I know.
Let's just go ahead and admit failure. Like, okay, let's put the Democrat in there because that's what you guys want to do anyway. I mean, that's
part of it.
We're really, I mean, look at Schumer did. Well, okay, look at the FISA thing. Johnson's did the tying vote. He could have stopped that. He could have said no and it would have stopped. But no, we send it on to the Senate, and the Senate's going to vote on that today. That'll go through with the FISA. Or was it yesterday? I don't remember the FISA.
Well, I think it already happened, and I don't think they got the FISA warrant. I think it already happened.
Yeah, they didn't get the votes?
No, I don't think so. At least that's what I picked up just this morning.
Right.
Of course, I could have not heard correctly, but I don't think they got the votes for the FISA warrant.
Really?
And I'm really upset because they already they couldn't impeach Mayorkas. I mean, that man needs to be impeached. Joe Biden needs to be impeached. I love that fight that took place with what was his name? Grassley? Was it Grassley?
Right.
And the chairman, and they were fighting back and forth. He's like, "What crime did Biden commit? What crime?" And the other guy's like, "Well, tell me what business that he owns that he would get all this money." And then at the end, the guy's like, "Oh, I'm going to tell you what crimes he committed." I love the art. Did you see that clip?
Oh, yeah.
That was a great clip.
He's like, "Oh, we have a consulting company. What are you consulting for? What are you doing in your consulting? Why are you getting tens of millions of dollars?" I mean, by the way, why are we all forgetting that Hunter got $1 billion from China for his investment firm? $1 billion. You don't think we're all talking about this 10 million, 1 million, 3 million. Like, hey guys, China wrote them a $1 billion check. Mm-hmm. Okay. Period. Let's just go with that. On top of all the little tens of thousands and tens of millions and the hundreds of, okay, that's all pennies. Let's do the 100 billion part first. But we can't talk about that conversation because we're still worried about whether the laptop is authentic.
Right. It's like, okay, there's a crime right there with the laptop. There's a lot of crime in that laptop. So, so, you know, they could go after Donald Trump for nothing, but it's frustrating when there's actually a president that has committed crimes and they can't even impeach him. I mean, it's awful what we're seeing. The two-tier justice system, in a way, it's kind of good. Maybe we really need to see how it really isn't a fair playing ground. Liberty isn't blind here in the United States, that we do need a reform. of our judicial system, because like we saw in the movie with General Flynn, I think that was, you know, I saw God's hand move during that film where General Flynn had the Job moment. And for anyone who doesn't know who Job is in the Bible. Job was very loved by God and Job loved God. And because of how much Job loved God, Satan decided, hey, God, if you take everything away from him, he's not going to love you anymore. But God knew Job's heart. And he needed Job to go through all that hardship so that when we go through some hardship, we know it's not God punishing us. It's sometimes it's the enemy working. It's to strengthen our character, get us closer to God, because he is our source. And I saw that God allowed Flynn to go through the Job moment so we could see how bad things are in the system. Because remember, Flynn was a top guy in government. He was in charge of the intelligence community. He served as a general in the military. The guy knew everything. He was the top dog, and we needed the top dog to be taken out because he had the credibility, he had the knowledge, and he has the information to show all of us, look behind the curtain. The Wizard of Oz isn't real. Look behind the curtain so we can have reform. I'll give you the last word, Jim.
Well, getting again, guys, and she talked about this a little bit in the moment of Job. And remember this, I say in the show, your future is a reflection of your heart now. Make sure your heart's in the right place every single day, being better than the day before. When you think about the things that you're doing in the world around you, I talk about selflessness over selfishness. Selfishness is the root cause of sin. That's where we start. When we start looking inward, that's where depression starts. That's where this inward me, ego-driven behavior. And ego is an amazing, powerful, a creative thing and a powerfully destructive thing all at the exact same time. And if you can learn to understand that you have an ego that drives a lot of things that you do because you want to get your pound of flesh, sometimes there is righteous indignation when those that have done you wrong, there is a necessary need for you to go and make sure that you balance that out. But in reality, watch where your ego drives you. Watch what your ego is saying and see how you treat situations. And sometimes just make sure you get yourself in the right place. And how you react to the world around you only defines you. You're not defined by other people's actions. You're only defined by your actions. And when you overreact or don't act in the right way because you weren't prepared, well, that's on you. So when we think about talking about the election, we're talking about integrity, we're talking about Israel, we're talking about World War One and Two and Korea, Vietnam and 9/11. These are all emotional red button things that get us all wound up in fear. But if we go off of the Bible, it says 365 times, thou shall not live in fear. How dare you live in a fear after you're being commanded to live in freedom and liberty? And to know that these people are dealing in fear means that we push them away. Your big G God sits on the throne of your life if you let him. You're not the small G government. That's the small G government. That's the last thing you think of in your day. You don't consider the small G government to draw your breath. You draw your breath from your creator, from your source. So when you think of big G God, think of that first in your life, and that small G government's the very last thing you ever worry about. And when you get your priorities right, you get God in the home, you get fathers back in the home, all this suddenly starts balancing out. You start seeing how things just seem to work better. When you watch other people's making mistakes and you don't want to make them trip and fall even more, but also be the example, because your small little candle is the brightest in the dark of times. Your little flame that you think, you know, I have a, you know, here's my little light of mine. I'm going to put it under a bushel. No, that's the simple story of this whole thing, guys. Be the light in the darkness. And you guys can be amazing. If you guys want to, you know, be a part of any of this, reach out to Amber, reach out to me, ask us any questions, ask what we can do for you. And we will do as much as we can to make sure you guys are going to be in a better place going in the future. But you got to make those decisions to open your mouth and make those first steps.
And how do people find your show, Jim?
TheJimPriceShow.com is my website. You go over there and see the different things I have. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Twitter. I'm on Clout Hub. I'm on DLive, Twitch, iTunes, Spotify. I'm on Roku. On Patriot Podcast over there is also Conservative Television of America. I'm also on Q Streaming. I have my stuff pretty much anywhere out there. But hey, guys, hit me up, email me, ask me any questions, and I do respond. I have a lot of people like, oh, you spawn right away. I'm like, yeah, that's how we're supposed to do this for each other, folks. You guys are the most important thing to me. Anything I can do to help you guys, I'm going to be out there doing it.
Well, thank you, Jim, for joining us today. I appreciate you.
You bet. Thank you so much, Amber. It's been great being a friend of yours and great to be on your show. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us today on The Amber May Show. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Please make sure you like, share, and subscribe. And if there's someone that came to mind, please share this episode with them. Please follow us on Telegram at The Amber May Show, True Social Amber May, Frank Socially Amber May, or Clout Hub. I can't wait to see you next time on The Amber May Show.